Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe there's stuff we don't know. I hope there's stuff we don't know, but the longer this goes on, and I was originally believed that Jim Dolan hadn't done this on his own, the longer this goes on with the search happening the way it is, it feels like this was more of a Dolan thing than an organizational decision or a Leon Rose thing, and they tried to cover that up in the statement. That's what it feels like
to me. I still wonder about the assistant coaches, because they're all still here.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on who they hire... You know, if it's an outside guy, which is outside, what I mean outside guy, a guy that has no connection to the Knicks or this group of coaches or this front office, meaning that it could be, like, say, Mike Malone. Maybe Mike would want to take it because he'd want to get back into coaching and accept the coaching staff and everything the way it is and be amenable to working with the front office when it comes to coaching the team like Tom Thibodeau was. But I just think that that is a recipe for disaster. That means the guy's just taking a job to take a job and not doing it the way that he wants to do it in order to win a championship.
Yeah. I mean, right now it feels like we're going to be looking back on this and saying, man, what a terrible, terrible decision. Like, this is what you fired Tibbs for this. And by the way, if this team has a sloppy regular season, I mean, it is going to get ugly. And a sloppy regular season might be winning 45 games as opposed to 50.
You would go from just... absolute madness after game 6 of beating the Celtics to an absolute, you have potential for this. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying you have a potential for this to becoming an absolute joke once again next year if they don't find the right guy.
Yeah, it's amazing that a team can accomplish something for the first time in 25 years, making it to a conference final, and now once again they're being laughed at. I mean, it's just wild. I mean, how did this happen? Talk of the town, everybody's back on the Knicks, everybody's activated, and now all of a sudden it's a joke again. It is just wild.
I wonder if it was social media influenced in any way, or was it just the players who must have said something in those getaway meetings with Leon Rose and Jim Dolan that forced Jim Dolan to look at Leon Rose and say, "Did you hear what I heard? Get rid of him."
You really think that there was like a mutiny there? I mean, it didn't feel like that at all. It felt like the players really did like him.
I don't know. You know, I don't think a player would ever come out and... there's no Jimmy Butlers on this team. Let's put it that way.
Doesn't seem like it.
No, they seem like they're all good guys. They seem like they really liked each other. And by the way, you know, a couple of days after they had lost, they were all out together.
Yeah. Did they put out a roommates podcast yet? Mm-hmm. I'm looking it up right now.
They're not going to be.
No, you know what's funny is they, let's see. Yeah, they haven't yet.
And if they put out a roommates podcast and don't talk about this, then what's the sense of even listening to it?
Yeah, there wouldn't be. So I have to, let's see. The guy who is the producer of that tweeted, because I remember I brought up there was someone who does a Knicks and Nets podcast who said the fact that they haven't recorded a roommates podcast is telling, and I brought that up. Yeah. So the producer of the roommates podcast said they are recording soon. I wouldn't look too much into it. The season just ended.
Where is it? This is now. Soon is now.
Yeah.
I mean, and you would think that the roommates podcast would be relevant right now for two reasons. One, they lost to Indiana, and now Indiana has got a 2-1 lead over OKC. And that's an opportunity that, quite frankly, has been missed by the Knicks. And two is they basically just lost their coach, and they seem to be very supportive of their coach.
So it is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, it is.
Hoffman just texted me and said that Josh Hart put it out there on social media that it'll be coming out or tomorrow or today. Let me just get this correct. Coming out today. So at some point today, we will hear what these guys have to say about this. And that'll be very interesting. Now, if they don't touch it at all, you're right. There's just no point. So I want someone to go and listen to this for me. So I don't have to go through it.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of sound from it tomorrow if, in fact, they actually touch on this, which they have to.
Yeah.
I mean, like the first question out of the box, man, yeah, really disappointed. Knicks fans were great this year. It's awesome. Man, were you as shocked as I was that to hear that Tibbs got fired?
Yeah, and we'll be able to tell if they're full of crap or not, too. Yeah, there it is. Episode coming out this Thursday. Josh Hart.
Do you think they talk about Jalen's dad possibly getting a head coaching job? Be like an Austin Rivers and Doc Rivers thing. But didn't Doc trade his son?
Yeah, but also, I mean, Austin Rivers was nowhere near the best player on the team.
I know that, but still. But didn't they trade Austin Rivers?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I don't know. I mean, Austin Rivers was just a, you know, bit player in the NBA.
But he was an NBA player. Stop.
Yeah, but it's different. You can't have the, like, it's like having Michael Jordan's father or Kobe Bryant's dad or whoever coaching the team.
How about LeBron James coaching Bronny James?
Yeah, but he's not really the coach, even though he kind of is.
Be a player coach.
But not, not really. But Bronny also stinks. You know? So it's still not the same.
He's a young kid, man.
Yeah, right. He got put in a terrible situation.
Right. He doesn't belong in the NBA. He's there for one reason, and one reason only is because his dad is his teammate. He wanted to play with his dad, or his dad wanted him to play with him. He should be in the G League and working on his game and then getting there by himself.
Let's go to Seth in Michigan. What's going on, Seth?
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, man?
Nothing. My name's Scott, but it's no big deal.
Okay, Scott, what's up?
All right, yeah, I'm calling from Michigan. I look at this, and I've been trying to think of anything I can see like this in history. And I can't. You guys had a top 10 coach. You had a top 4 team. With a couple breaks here and there, you guys could be in the final. And out of the blue, you get rid of the coach. But the year before you do that, you get rid of also a couple bench players, and you guys even get further. Like, there's nothing smart. So here's my, it's a little bit, I know it sounds conspiratorial, what I'm about to say and everything, but is it possible he gets more joy messing with you Knicks fans than he would winning a championship? Because he is one of the most petty guys I've seen.
Who's that, Jim Dolan, the owner?
Yeah, I know. The guy's petty.
Yeah, I mean, he's petty with stuff like throwing people out who have said fire Dolan, or, you know, going after the lawyers that were suing him for whatever, you know, the beverage stuff. But, I mean, he is not going to fire a coach to screw with his fan base that, you know, over the last 2 years has ignited Madison Square Garden and paid a through the nose to get into the building.
Yes.
I mean,
the Knicks were the hottest ticket in town for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, this, and because of Madison Square Garden's relatively small size compared to Yankee Stadium and Citi Field, I mean, these tickets were going for God knows what.
Yeah.
And this was the highest ticket price in the history of the Knicks. On the secondary market, especially.
Yeah.
But I know as a former season ticket holder for the New York Rangers, you know, when the playoffs came around, man, you got dinged.
Huh.
Hey, yeah. We made the playoffs, we need more money.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, most of the hockey teams make their money is when they make it into the playoffs and they can make all that extra money. That's why they love those 7-game series.
Yeah, I mean, here's your conspiracy, if you want to have a conspiracy, that Jim Dolan... it did this on his own. Leon Rose said, listen, there's not anybody better. So if you do this, I think you're making a mistake. And then he does it. And then Leon Rose is like, all right, the people who I think maybe could be better, I'll reach out to. And they all end up being coaches that are under contract. Then he goes back to Jim Dolan and said, I told you, we can't get any of these guys. And then he goes, okay, bring Tibbs back. There's your conspiracy.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
There's your conspiracy. Man,
Johnny Bryant, if they hire him and they keep the coaching staff, What do you think?
I think that that seems unlikely at this point, considering what I've heard from Ian Begley and others, that if they wanted to do that, they would have done it already. The Suns didn't hire him. He's available. The Suns hired the other Cavs assistant immediately. And now it's sort of like, okay, you're just going to settle on. And then remember what you said the other day, too? Imagine being the coach who does get hired and be like, yeah, what's it feel like to be the 15th choice?
And that's exactly what's going to be asked.
Yeah. So, I mean, and if Johnny Bryant ends up being the guy, he's going to say, all right, so your bosses thought that Jason Kidd, Quinn Snyder, who else did they reach out to got denied?
Finch.
Chris Finch, the Memphis coach. Like, they just on and on and on. These guys thought that they were better than you, and you're here now. So what do you have to do to prove it to them? And, oh, by the way, you have to get to the NBA Finals to do better than Tibbs did. Good luck. Good luck.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Roommates podcast, we were waiting for Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, and it takes 24 minutes, as you said, for them to get to it. And then they don't talk about the future of the organization. They just talk about how great Tibbs was for them. And you know, I heard all of it driving in this morning, and there was nothing that was generally surprising at all. I know you brought up the whole thing with Josh Hart saying that, you know, he came here and then playoffs and first time in Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, and the organization was butt or ass or whatever he said.
I think he said butt, but I could be wrong about that.
Which is all things that we said in different ways. But like, it's not even about that any longer. You know, they came out and it was their first comments on him being fired, and they did the right thing. They did. They gave him the respect. You know, it wasn't some like rumor mongering craziness. So they did the right thing. So I don't want to get on them. But really, I mean, the conversation that we're having now, what they said didn't add much to it, because we're now figuring out what's the next guy. You know, why this happened, we'll never really know unless someone wants to come out and say that it was Dolan, or someone wants to come out and say that, you know, it was Mikal Bridges or Karl Anthony. I'm just naming names. I have no idea. That went in there and shivved Tibbs, and that's the reason why he's out of there. But the bigger issue now is that he's not there, and they still don't have a coach, and they still don't know exactly where they're going. So, I mean, I wish they would have said something about that. I can understand why they didn't, but like, if they had enough influence, let's say that the players in those players' meetings had enough influence in getting him out of there.
I think you're hitting on it right now.
Then they have to have some sort of idea of what they would like in the future as well, no?
I would certainly think so, and I would like to think that Jalen Brunson would have some say in what's going on, given the fact that he has become the face of that franchise. There was a lot in this 55 minutes where they talked about the season. They 100% feel like they were the better team. They pointed to the game one loss against Indiana and the way the game kind of got away from them late, as to where the series got off the rails. And it sounds crazy because it's only the first game, but it was.
But in terms of the next coach, they could have said nothing. Like if Josh Hart had any part in Tom Thibodeau being fired, he could have said very little. He could have just said, you know, it sucks. NBA gets the coaching life, which he did make reference to, but that was in and around gushing about the way he made him a better player, how he brought a consistency and he was a stabilizing force, and he could not have spoken more glowingly about this guy. So I did not get the sense. I know Jalen Brunson had nothing to do with it. To me, watching this, Josh Hart had nothing to do with this either. It seemed like the two of them were more in Tibbs's corner. And the more I get away from this, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, it really does feel, as the days go on, that this was a James Dolan snap decision, we'll figure it out later type of deal. The one thing that I'm left with when I hear about these names, and I know where they reach for the stars, and they were said no five times now, six times, whatever it is, seven times if you're going to count the college coaches. When you start bringing in names like Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins, people can say, Taylor Jenkins, what a great coach. Okay, fine. In the year he didn't have John Morant, they won 25 games. Genius coach. They went 27-50 or whatever it was. You know, you want to talk about Mike Brown. The only time Mike Brown was a good head coach, he had LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Mm. And they didn't win with Mike Brown. Like, they didn't win. I don't think they won a title when he was the head coach. So it's like, if you're going to get rid of the coach who is still on the ascent, you got to get the established guy who has done it before. These aren't names that have done it before. And one guy, I think it was on Fox, it might have been ESPN, one guy likened Tibbs to Chuck Daly. If we had this mentality back in the days of the Pistons and Chuck Daly, Daly would have been fired before he had the opportunity to win back-to-back NBA championships.
Sure.
Like, it just, the whole, none of it adds up to me. And you know, people can sit there and criticize me and say that, you know, I'm a sheep and I don't understand the NBA world. That's fine. What I saw, and I saw two guys back him yesterday, was a coach and a team that was still on the rise that took another step. And the next step you would like to think would be an NBA championship or at least the NBA finals. And you're not going to see that with him.
Yeah, I mean, and if you think about these other examples of teams that, you know, hadn't gotten there and then ended up bringing someone in that did get there. I mean, some of these are the biggest examples in NBA history with the Chicago Bulls and Phil Jackson and the Los Angeles Lakers and Phil Jackson. It was Tyronn Lue who took over after Mike Brown, right? And they ended up winning the championship.
I believe
with
it
Ty
was.
Lue. So that one, I guess, is a... But LeBron wanted Ty Lue. Remember
yes.
that whole thing?
Yes.
Like he, and if I can remember that correctly, like he was like, this is the guy to do it for us. And he had his full support. And he was really leading that organization. Plus, it was LeBron James, for God's sakes. As much as I love this Knicks team, they don't have LeBron James in his prime on this team.
But and to your point, so you talk about these changes we're talking about. All right, Steve Kerr, Golden State. All right, well, he also, now that we know, has the best three-point shooter we've ever seen in the history of the game. And oh, by the way, I'd have to go check the record, but when Steve Kerr stepped aside for whatever the reason was, Luke Walton barely lost a game.
Yeah, it was
so
back
is Luke
surgery.
Walton a genius now?
Yeah. No, I know. Well, Luke Walton got opportunities and was bad. So
and did nothing. You know, you want to say Phil Jackson, Doug Collins, all that. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I'm not saying he wasn't a great, you know, manager of personalities. He didn't have a hand in it. Of course he did. But we're making it seem like that it's just very easy to pick the next guy, and the next guy is going to take that next step. We don't know that, and neither do you.
And something that isn't mentioned enough is the last two places that Tibbs left, they got worse after he left, not better. And that was the Chicago Bulls and the Minnesota Timberwolves in the immediate aftermath. Now, the Timberwolves have rebounded over the last number of years, got back-to-back conference finals, but the first couple of years after he was gone there, they weren't as good.
And CBS Sports Network has the list of coaches that are up on the list in the last 40 years. It is embarrassing when you look at these records and this organization and these teams, aside from Mike Woodson, who had and I know his name is back up in terms of possibly coming back as well to take over. I mean, these records are just a disaster when you look at what it's been. And then you look at Thibodeau in his 5 years, 226, 174, four playoff appearances, and on the rise still. And you just feel like, that's fine, you want to make a change. But you got to make a change for better. Right now, they swung and missed on better, and now you're going to end up with what I think would be worse.
Yeah, I mean, and if it is, I mean, that's going to be the thing that everybody points to. And the players, I mean, they should be receiving most of the blame, but now it's going to be look what you did. You were that close, and you fired your coach, and now you stink. But, I mean, it's really on these players. I mean, who said it? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how many times have we said, okay, these coaches that won these championships and they stepped in, I mean, they had the best players in the world. Well, this is why I say the things I say about Karl-Anthony Towns, that he is that good. He could be that guy. He could be the best player in the world consistently, and you don't see it enough.
And maybe people want to blame the coach for that. I blame the player for that because we saw that in flashes in this postseason when he set his mind to attacking the rim and playing even more physical than he was prior. You couldn't stop him. And then he just disappears and seems disinterested. He's a very odd player to watch because I'm with you. He could be one of the best players on the planet. And sometimes he just doesn't look or appear to have the want to.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Really, I got to a point where, and I remember the first time I saw Jason Kidd's name pop up was Frank Isola on social media mentioned it, whatever it was, when Tibbs immediately after he got fired. What was it, Tuesday? Last Tuesday?
Oh, God.
Has it been a week?
Sounds
has it
about
been more
right.
Than 2 weeks? Anyway, so whenever that happened, Jason Kidd was the first name, and then there were reasons for why people were saying that, and then the name started to come out a little bit more, and I thought that that was going to be the thing. I felt like the Knicks probably back-channeled their way into conversations with Kidd,
yeah,
gauging the interest, which would make sense. If they didn't do that, then they're even more foolish than we think.
Mm-hmm.
But now the latest report saying that they were denied permission from the Mavs. It doesn't mean, however, that it's over. Who the hell wrote it? Steve Popper, maybe, who covers the Knicks. I saw him do something on social media. Somebody I follow retweeted that, mm-hmm, saying that his sources are telling him that doesn't mean it's the end of the road for Jason Kidd with the Knicks. So I still would not definitively say, let me read you the exact thing that Steve Popper, he covers the Knicks from Newsday. He was talking about Mark Stein, who covers the Mavericks, or knows the Mavericks as well as anybody. Popper says, Stein knows the Mavs better than anyone. Interestingly, I've heard, this is Popper, I've heard that despite this roadblock, some in the Knicks organization believe the first no is not the end of the pursuit of Jason Kidd.
Okay, so who's the most powerful, influential NBA reporter of all time? Of all time.
Woj? Yeah, Woj.
Woj could pop in a Woj bomb right now and say that there's still a chance that Jason Kidd does wind up coaching the Knicks, to your point.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me about the direction of the Knicks. That's not even the point right now.
Right, it wouldn't change.
No, because it just talks to the very disjointed and scattered mess of a plan that they have. And I put quotes around the word plan, because I don't think that they have one. I think it was just a reactive, emotional response to player exit interviews, a disappointing finish when you had home court advantage and were favored to win and go to the finals. And I think ownership, James Dolan took over, and that's his right. It's his team. So I think Leon Rose's fingerprints are not nearly on this as maybe as much as some. Same with World Wide West. I think this is, if not all, mostly Dolan. And I think right now the Knicks are looking around saying, all right, well, listen, I mean, here we are. What's the plan? And there seems to be nine of them.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Adam is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's up, guys? Hey. I'm much calmer today, much clearer headed in thinking. without yelling and screaming. BT, it's kind of funny. You were off the next day after I called and I had a stroke on these airwaves.
Okay.
And I was so upset about what I was hearing about the exit meetings, I even used the Sal crying voice. Yeah.
Just don't use the whisper voice with the Knicks.
Yeah, yeah. No. And Sal got mad at me for stealing his material. But look, I've been thinking about this hard, right? And I was right when I said that initial day. This was a knee-jerk reaction to exit meetings and everything else and people crying, and they didn't have a plan. And that's obvious now. But I actually think that there is something nobody's talking about that can help solve their PR nightmare. Make no mistake, guys. This is now a PR nightmare as well as a coaching search.
Agreed.
They have to fix. Yeah, they don't just have to fix getting a coach. They have to fix keeping the fan base from all getting on the Brooklyn Bridge and jumping off.
They don't care about that, though, Adam. Why would they care? The Knicks clearly don't care about PR. I feel like they never have. They don't talk to anybody. Nobody talks. The Garden sells out every night anyway. The Knicks could be bad for 25 years. People going to the building. Yeah, the ticket prices are ridiculous. People still go.
Sal, I agree, but this is different. I think the solution might be under their nose, and it's something nobody's talked about. And he's in the building. He's been on NBA coaching staffs. He was a college head coach. And like Tibbs, he would probably sell his soul to get the opportunity, even if he's the 18th choice. What is wrong with sniffing at Patrick Ewing, who's already in your building?
Oh, God, stop. Oh, come on, Adam. What are we doing? Patrick Ewing was awful at Georgetown as a coach. He was terrible. I know we won the Big East tournament that one year, and I was happy for him, but that wasn't. It's not like they were 30-9, and I mean, they backdoored it. Like, nobody saw them. The Hoyas were terrible under Pat.
I love Patrick Ewing.
Me too.
Come on. Come on now. Get real.
I mean, if we're bringing back ex-Knicks, bring back Mark Jackson, a real coach.
Yeah. Or Jeff Van Gundy. You're talking about just players specifically?
Yeah, I meant players.
Can we just hire the best head coach? Like, Ewing's the best center that the franchise has ever seen. And I still think the best player that I've ever seen with the Knicks. He's not the best head coach. He may want the job. I'm not opposed to, you know, years ago maybe giving him an opportunity.
Now when they were really down.
Yeah,
kind
now's
grow,
not the time to be
together.
Messing around with this.
I'm with you.
Hey, the Knicks are trying to win a championship for the first time in 50 years. You can't be messing around here. This is not the time to play around with names that we like or nostalgia. Like, they have to hire the right head coach, the best head coach, to get them to win the championship. That's the goal here.
Head coach, the big fella, number 33, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, man.
Time out, Patrick.
Come on, man.
I mean, dude. Time out, Patrick.
Time out. Time out, Patrick Ewing. Like, no, you can't do it. Come on. It would be fun, but...
It wouldn't be fun.
Not now.
You know why it wouldn't be fun?
Because you're ripping him to shreds.
Exactly. He's not... I just don't think he's ready for this. And same with, like, people say, oh, bring Mattingly, you know, if they ever move on, or even in the pet, bring Donnie back. I don't want to have to criticize Mattingly on that. I would, but I don't want to have to criticize him on that level. There's certain people who are sacred. Pat's one of them.
I'd love to see the Mattingly to the Yankees thing, just for that purpose.
No, you don't want to see that.
That'd be busting your child. Hey, BT, how do you use a bullpen there? Donnie, I don't know what he's doing. All right, BT, it's Sal with Fade. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal, how are you guys?
What's happening, buddy?
Oh, man, the fact that we're having conversations with consideration for Patrick Ewing when the Knicks were two games away from going to the NBA Finals is insane. It's insane. I don't understand this whole thing. I mean, every day that passes, the more and more absurd it gets, the more the madness continues, which is why, I mean, one of the last callers just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. In the PR nightmare that has become the Knicks right now, which is they tried to sell us for days that this was a Leon Rose decision, right? Mm-hmm. And that the players weren't behind Thibodeau anymore, right? And there are certain players that didn't want to play for Thibodeau. That's all nonsense. We all know that this was a Dolan decision. Period. Stop.
I don't know. I believe that. I don't know if everybody believes that.
My initial feeling was you don't make a move like that unless the owner got impatient, stepped in, just thought it was time for a change. But it's hard to counter factual reporting. And there were a lot. Now, a part of me thinks, okay, well, some of this is coming from the Garden, clearly, and they're trying their PR spin the way that they do it, but it was a lot of people, then people that I trust saying the same thing, so I don't know, I'm torn on it. I don't believe that this is a spot where Dolan just went rogue and said, screw what everybody thinks, I'm firing this guy. I think he may have headed the charge, and Leon Rose went along with it, I don't know, reluctantly or not, But I don't think this is the way that it was years ago with, say, Donnie Walsh and Dolan.
Well, but Sal, if Leon Rose, let's say Leon wasn't strong-armed as much as maybe I think that he was. Think, operative word think, because I don't know. It just reeks of a power move by the owner.
Well, at least pushed him in that direction.
Yeah.
At the very least.
And let's say, like, it wasn't overbearing, but it was strong enough where Leon Rose knew, all right, he's serious about this. Did he at least push back and say, all right, boss, I got you, but we need to devise a plan? Because if it was the way you think it could have gone, I think Leon Rose is too smart not to have a better plan in place. There's still no plan. Right. They're throwing darts.
I can't
They're
argue
calling
that.
Three franchises.
I can't argue that.
Three!
I think the argument for Rose saying that this was a Rose decision would have had to have resulted in either hiring Johnny Bryant basically immediately or not reaching out to endless other coaches, just focusing on the Knicks have requested permission for the Mavericks and Jason Kidd and then landing him.
That's what I'm saying.
So already, matter of fact, I think I said this yesterday. If not, what's today? Wednesday? Maybe on Monday. But my whole thing was, hey, it still could be Leon Rose if it were Jason Kidd. That could then like put the whole piece together. But now, even if it isn't Jason Kidd, it's not, because once the reports start coming out about they reached out to Finch and were denied, to the T-Wolves who talked to Finch and were denied.
And Udoka. The Rockets preemptively shut that down.
Right, which is why I still could let that one go, because it wasn't reported that the Knicks definitively reached out.
That's true.
There was interest, whatever. The Rockets shut that down before the Knicks could officially request permission. But the report last night from Francesa, and then others I think followed suit, was that they requested permission for Chris Finch and were denied. So then it can't be about Jason Kidd.
Bingo.
It can't be about Johnny Bryant.
Bingo.
It's about multiple guys here.
Which is why I think it's about Dolan.
Hard to dispute that at this point. And if that's the case, then we've got
buckle up
a major problem. Greg is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Greg?
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Okay, Greg. You got it, buddy.
I waited patiently for a week to see what the Knicks were going to do. And I realized that Dolan was piping in circus music during that evaluation music from Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey, because this is ridiculous. He knee-jerk reacted to the meeting with the players and fired the guy without any. He didn't remember one very important fact that went on for years. Nobody worth a damn wants to work for Dolan. Let's be honest about this. Dolan isn't exactly number one on the list of people that who are worth anything want to work for. So now he fires the guy, thinking, oh, well, we had a good team here. Let me go get a big-time coach. Ooh! You know when this debacle really, really, really started? The beginning of it was last year that we couldn't keep that team together. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, no, that's not fair, though, Greg. They could not keep Hartenstein.
But guys, me and you talked about this before they fired Tibbs.
Yep.
We talked about it. We said, okay, if you're going to fire him, make sure you got a good plan.
Right.
And what did they do? They fired the guy without any plan whatsoever.
By the way,
how do you operate like that?
You shouldn't. And thanks for the call, Greg. I could respect if Dolan said, I want a big name, no doubt about it, head coach.
Yeah, me too.
The problem is they're not available. Like, you can't just say, I want, and not have the guy realistically available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I think when we say, okay, well, if this is truly Dolan, and I think there are a lot of signs that would lead that way, however it went, whether he was stiff arm, strong arm, flat out just said this has to happen, or just nudged, whatever. If this is Dolan, the reason why it's a big problem is because you know what the next step would be.
Oh, I know.
In the cracking of the foundation.
Leon Rose says, peace out. Bingo. I don't need this nonsense.
Bingo.
And World Wide West right behind them.
Bingo.
Yep.
And when that happens,
it's over. Now we're back to being dead. We can't have that happen.
You nailed it. That's exactly right.
That can't happen.
That's why this is the first crack in the foundation. And if it truly is Dolan, you just nailed it. We will know one way or another whether it's a year, 2 years, whatever, when it comes out of nowhere, and it's like Leon Rose has stepped away from the Knicks. And then when that happens, the party's over.
Buckle up. I'm just going to keep saying that. Buckle up.
I mean, that's...
That, it gets bumpy with this team.
That's the fear. Alessandro's calling from Sycamore Park. What's up, Alessandro?
Hi, this I have family in town from Italy. I'm heading to the city, but Rafaela and Edda. But I want to talk about the Knicks, and it's a disaster. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Was Tibbs, the late coming of Pat Riley? No, but there's no plan. You know, Jason Kidd, we don't have him. I mean, they don't get Malone. I mean, I don't want a first time head coach. I mean, what are your thoughts on Malone? I haven't heard much about him.
Well, here's what. Yeah, and enjoy the face. Is that family coming in from Italy? Is that what you said?
I think
Pick them up.
Yeah.
There you go. Go out and spend a lot of money in the city. Have fun with that. Hopefully they have some money in their pockets. Listen, first time head coach, it sounds scary, but there are instances where it's worked. I mean, the Celtics won a championship with Masula, and he wasn't thought to be ready because Udoka was whacked in that situation. He stepped in. You know, I mean, when Don Nelson was trying to run the offense, which I didn't disagree with at the time, actually, because I thought Pat was eroding a bit, but he was forward-thinking, trying to run the offense through Anthony Mason. Pat's like, I'm not having it. He got fired. Van Gundy elevated. We didn't really think Van Gundy was necessarily. I remember looking at him like, this guy's going to be the coach of the Knicks. He was pretty damn good. See, and even Pat Riley, when he took over for Westhead and made it showtime. I mean, going back in the day with the Lakers, and he won a bunch of championships. So I don't put a ceiling on somebody that I haven't seen coach yet. I think that that's unfair. I'm less worried about that, and I'm just fixated on the fact that they are spinning their wheels. And I think even more disconcerting is that we don't even know right now, to the point before, if Leon Rose and James Dolan right now are operating in sync. We don't even know if we're... Like, Dolan may have flexed, and Leon eventually acquiesces, and they get on the same page, or Dolan flexed and Rose is like, this is nonsense. And there, who knows what's going on behind the scenes?
Or it really could have been just Leon Rose making
that's
this
a possibility.
Move.
I leave that open. Yeah, I'm trying to be fair to everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel that way, but I'll be fair.
Hey, well, by the way, you bring up Mazzulla. Why don't the Knicks just reach out to the Celtics and see if he's available? Why not ask permission to talk to Mazzulla? Or Kenny Atkinson, go to Cleveland, who had a great year.
That's the guy who should have the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's stopping them? You want everybody else who's employed. Hey, wait till Carlisle and the Pacers hopefully lose in the finals. You could ask Carlisle. Ask for Mazzulla. I mean, that's what the Knicks want, right? They want to swing big. Ask for Spoelstra. You mentioned him. You know, that was another idea,
I said that months
too.
Ago, Spoelstra,
well,
yeah.
Well, maybe there was some thought that, you know, now how realistic was it? Who knows? But at least it would be like, hey, things are going sideways there in Miami.
He got divorced. Yeah, maybe he's looking to leave. I don't know. I mean, maybe you never know.
Yeah.
I'd still make the call. Him, I would make the call for.
Oh. I mean, they're calling everybody else. Why not? Aaron is calling from Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, BK and Sal. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Aaron?
You got it, buddy.
I'm in no way defending the Knicks right now. Mm-hmm. I'm a Tip supporter, so I'm with Sal on that. But I'm a little bit surprised at you, BK, only because you have been down. I'm not going to say you have been hating on Tibbs, but you have been down on him for a long time.
Yes.
And the Knicks have been, I believe, and I think there was a report, by the way, about in if they wouldn't have gotten out of the Detroit series quick, yep, he would have been fired or something like that.
Well, I think Ian Begley had that, like, mm-hmm, not that he would have been fired, but that just win the series to make sure you're back. But keep going. Yeah, that was out there a little bit.
No, but I think the Knicks have been down on Tibbs for a very long time.
I agree.
And they were not going to have him this year. Okay. And I don't think they... I'm not saying it's a good plan,
yep,
to fire Tibbs and have no backup, but they believe that Tibbs was not the guy.
No, I agree, but Aaron, hold on. You said that you were down on me a little bit. I don't understand the disconnect.
I'm just saying because the Knicks are sort of on your page. They have been down. Now, I'm not saying you would have fired Tibbs.
No, I would have. I said that. I would have. No, but here, Aaron, here's the difference, and it's a distinct difference. And thanks for the call, buddy. Fair question. You can have two very separate thoughts. Tom Thibodeau reached his apex. I would have moved on. I believe the Knicks did the right thing. I support them. And now I get to, okay, what's next? And nobody knows what the hell is next, which is why you're getting the reaction that you're getting from me today.
Right. Which makes you think that they didn't know why they fired Tibbs in the first place. It could, if you're speculating about Dolan, just, you know, maybe
emotional, impulsive, player reactions, exit interviews. Yeah. I also think that they were down on the... And not just because of the Pacers series, like the usage of younger players.
Yeah, well,
I think there's a lot of things.
There are basketball reasons you can bring
grumpy.
Up. Now, and I could still say, well, that's great, but who's better than he is? Like, every coach has some. You're going to be able to pick apart. I don't care if it's a manager, football coach, basketball coach. We could always nitpick and say, this guy should have done that better. This guy could do this better. There's always going to be that. To me, the problem was I know what Tibbs did because of his proven track record, not just here, but even if you just focus on here, he did something that how many guys before him were unable to do for a variety of reasons?
Quick guess, 7 or 8 at least, right?
He built the foundation, and this is before Brunson. It's not he's Tom Thibodeau is not a product of the superstar player.
Mm-hmm.
He made Julius Randle into a star player. He made Jalen Brunson into a star player. He took the Knicks, who were expected to win, what, 17, 15, whatever, 20 games that first year, to the 4 seed and the postseason by building a foundation, playing hard defense, playing tough, with no talent on that roster. Go look at that roster. Reggie Bullock was their second best player. Reggie Bullock. And then from there, they grew. Then from there, they brought in more talent and grew. So you could say, okay, well, now that he took him to as far as he could take him, which has been your argument. You just don't believe he's a championship head coach. He didn't have a great series against Indiana. Even I would admit he did not have a great series against Indiana. Not game one, to me, more game two, keeping Cat on the bench. So, and then using his bench a little bit more where he didn't use it before. Whatever, we can nitpick that. But who's better? And I didn't have the answer. You didn't have an answer necessarily.
I just said Malone or try to trade for Spoelstra. Okay. That's what I was saying months ago.
And even worse, they don't have
the answer. Well, that's all that matters. They don't have the answer. You know, I've thought about this too, and I've gone back and forth. I'm like, right now, is this a tough job or is this an easy job? And I battle myself because the tough work is over. Building an infrastructure of culture and accountability. That's what Tom Thibodeau did for whomever takes over this job. Like, seeds planted, winning ways, different culture, accountability. That's good. So that part makes it an easy job. What makes it a tough job is that if you don't get to the NBA Finals, you failed.
Yeah.
So is it more easy or a tough job?
Yeah, I would think more difficult because it's very, very hard, even for a good head coach with a good roster and a good team, to win a championship. It's been even harder for the Knicks than most. I mean, you're talking about 50 years here. BT, and Tibbs was 6 games from that, 6 wins from that, 2 games from getting the NBA Finals, six wins from winning an NBA title. And you want to go from where he got them to winning it all. That's just a 6-game disparity. Hard to do that with somebody that's going to come in here, and especially when you talk about a first-time head coach. We have joining us now the man who calls himself a king at times to help us along with the conversation as far as the Knicks and their head coaching search goes, Craig Carton.
What's
who's
up?
Hanging around here. How are you, Craigie?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great run the Knicks gave us. We should all be grateful
to
get into the Eastern Conference Finals.
So, BT, let's spin it forward here with Craigie, who's got some insight. You were boys with Dolan for a long time. I don't know if you still are
or not. Yeah, he's a dear friend.
Okay, so what do you think? I have not heard your thoughts on this as far as who made the decision ultimately.
Rose made the decision, my opinion. And that doesn't come from Dolan, just my opinion on how things I know have worked here for the last 3, 4, 5 years, he has given, obviously he's the owner, but he has allowed Leon Rose and World Wide West to make every major decision. They go to him. I can also tell you that there was a falling out a year and a half ago between Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, where they'd have meetings and Thibodeau wouldn't pay any mind to what Leon had to say. And there was a real kind of a schism where Leon bills it and then Thibodeau has to coach it. And Thibodeau didn't want advice on how to coach it. And that goes back before this year.
Yeah.
So this is not like low-hanging fruit.
Well,
like,
why extend
this happened in May?
Why extend him?
That's
though?
What I was going to say. Yeah. Gave him $30 million extension.
Look, he brought a certain level of competency and success, not the level of success we're all hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't argue the first couple years here. You know, you went to the playoffs 3 out of the first 4, 4 out of 5 now. And that was worthy of an extension. Plus, even though they had a bit of a falling out, a basketball falling out, the families are very close. Leon obviously represented him for a long time. He wasn't going to do wrong by him. But like I was just saying to the guys in there, if the Knicks lost to the Pistons, you firing him?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Like no wavering at all.
Yep.
The Celtics series was kind of interesting. Down 20. Tatum gets hurt up 13 late. Mm. Probably win that game anywhere. Anyway. But are we going to keep him because he beat the Celtics with a hurt Tatum in game 6?
No. To me,
So then what are we crying about?
No, I'm not. I think what has us worried or, you know, aware that there's a possibility that there's an element of dysfunction that's crept into the Knicks now that we haven't seen for a while. I think Tom Thibodeau is a very good coach. I don't think he's great. I don't think he'll ever be great based on some basketball reasons that I've said I've said for a while. I think that it's fair to look at the situation now and say, well, even though you just said that you think it's Leon Rose, I get that. Did Dolan intervene at all? What is the plan? It seems a little scattered. Let's try to trade for Kidd. What's Jay Wright doing? What's this guy?
Yeah.
It just seems scattered. Yeah, and that's got Knicks fans worried.
Yeah, I get it. But also, none of that comes from the Knicks.
Well, nothing comes from the right? Knicks because they don't say anything.
But that's people who think they're in the know saying, I think the Knicks because it makes sense to Jay Wright. It makes sense to all of us, right? He coached a lot of the guys.
Yeah, that was never
He was successful. Jay Wright was never an option. They didn't make Jay Wright an offer. He said no to it. I think Hurley is an option, which we can get to in a second. Like yesterday, they go, oh, Patino's not going to coach the Knicks. Who said he was?
Yeah. He told us he was. I knew that wasn't happening.
Yeah, of course. We all knew he wasn't going to coach them. Like, do you want Budenholzer? I don't
know.
Do you want the old retreads over and over again?
Right, but that's why when you're saying who's crying or why are we crying, because Tom Thibodeau did something, no coach, and Craigie, they had Hall of Fame guys in here, first-time guys, well-respected guys. They couldn't get it right once.
Yeah, but they also didn't have the talent they currently have. And my beef with Thibodeau is the same beef they had in Minnesota, the same beef they had in Chicago. He's the right guy to start the process of turning it around.
Yeah.
Because he's a taskmaster. He believes in veterans,
program
not young
builder.
Guys. All that stuff, right? Yeah, that lasts. That's got a shelf life. And it ain't a long shelf life, which is why he's had so many jobs. He's a phenomenal basketball coach. I don't take anything away from him. And he brought us to the brink of getting to an NBA final. And 25 years without an Eastern Conference final. And deserves a lot of platitudes for that. I never thought he was the guy that was going to win a title here.
Yeah.
And my biggest beef with the Knicks this year is that when you look at the players, and look, Karl-Anthony Towns was a disappointment. Had a couple great quarters, but overall disappointment. If you look at the Knicks individually, they're a damn good basketball team, but they never became a team.
Yeah.
All right, so
and that's my gripe with them, that a bunch of really good individual players, not a great team, and they got exposed defensively.
Fair enough, but he had 1 year.
And he's a defensive coach.
But he had 1 year.
He had 5 years.
No, 1 year with this group, bringing in Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. That's a lot to ask in 1 year to turn around to a championship level when they got 6 wins from winning the championship.
I know.
And now they're saying the singular focus on winning a championship. Okay, who's that guy?
For me, it's Danny Hurley. Danny Hurley is the guy, and I don't think you'd get the same histrionics on the sideline at the pro level that you'd get. You'd get some of it.
I mean,
not the
he
same.
Can't
but
not coach without turning.
Look,
into
I may be dead wrong on this and totally out of board on this. Danny Hurley's arguably the greatest coach living today in the world of basketball, and he's already got the 2 titles. The NIL stuff's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Danny Hurley, and I could promise my wife, who's an East Coast gal, that the family stays on the East Coast.
That was the issue with the Lakers?
That was part of it.
Big issue.
That was
not
part of it.
Big issue, though.
Now, she had apparently said, I'm in, because I love you. It's your chosen career. She wants to be in the East Coast. He wants to be in the East Coast. If he can be, obviously, the legendary dad and all the stuff, Duke and all that stuff that we've talked about forever. But if you can get Danny Hurley, you sign him and give him whatever he wants.
I couldn't disagree more. Yeah. On that last part, everything else, I'm with you. He's brilliant. His mind is beyond fertile. See, here's the issue with Danny. If you hire Danny Hurley, you're hiring Danny Hurley. I mean, for all the good and all the bad and everything that he is.
You've got to let him be him.
And if you bring him here and with the hope or the expectation or the edict that, hey, we got to tone things down a little bit, then he's not Danny Hurley. And now you're not paying for what you hired. And I don't think that, and maybe this is unfair to Danny, I don't think that he's capable of coaching a game without being so intense.
I guess what I'm getting at is
that's not working in the NBA.
The way you coach, even though the kids are making a lot of money these days, the way you coach a 19-year-old, I don't care if he's making $1 million or not, is a lot different than the way you coach a 30-year-old.
That's what I'm saying, 100%.
And I think, while he'll be the same with the refs, and he'll be crazy and yell and scream at refs, I don't think he'll be the same with 28 to 32-year-old veterans. But I do think, and again, none of us are in the private meetings, obviously. You think Danny Hurley was going to tolerate some of Karl-Anthony Towns' crap this year?
No.
You don't think he would have been all in that dude?
Yeah.
You think Tibbs didn't want to do that? Like, could he have?
I don't know. But I tell you what, and again, I could be way off.
Yeah. I don't even think they're going to extend him at all for Danny. Well, I really don't.
Well, how about this aspect of it? What about Jalen Brunson and then Rick Brunson? Danny Hurley doesn't seem like the type to me that's going to deal with Rick Brunson being patrolling that
bench.
Yeah,
but I look, I like Rick Brunson a lot. I think Rick Brunson, look, we know why he's here, obviously. But Rick Brunson.
He's a good coach.
Well, look, I think Rick played. Obviously, his son's the captain of the Knicks.
Yeah. And he was here before his son, by the
way. Yeah.
And he's a Tibbs guy.
And he's a Tibbs type of guy. But look, do I care who the second, third, and fourth assistant is on any team? I don't. I really don't.
But if it means upsetting your superstar player.
So they're not going to fire Rick Brunson. I mean, they fired Tibbs. That's a Brunson guy. Brunson loved Tibbs, right? So we're told.
Yeah. But Tibbs isn't his dad.
Right.
That's
so
different.
To me, whoever comes in, my gut is Rick is a part of the coaching staff.
But that's, you can't have that.
We've never cared about who the second, third, fourth, fifth assistants are.
We might not care, but if
who
there's
does?
A, no, I really don't care that much, unless there's like a family dynamic, which makes this interesting. But the new coach might care if Rick Brunson shut down his throat.
Well, but we don't know what's
Rick's got a pretty strong presence, Craig. You know that.
He was first guy up after every timeout.
Yeah.
But what is Rick doing in practices that a coach would be like, I can't have that.
Forget Rick. So you think Danny Hurley would be okay with not having to hire his own staff?
I think you bring in your own staff and Rick Brunson's name comes up and it might be, is it important to my best player? Then Rick's got a spot here. You know? By the way, one of the reasons Jalen may have taken $100 million less is my dad's got a job here. No one ever thought of that?
I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you what's so interesting. Like, and it's not happening, but if Rick was like 5 years younger, I think everybody's saying Rick should get the job. He's just a little bit too old at this point.
He hasn't been a head coach
and I
anywhere.
Asked him. He's like, I can't have that energy every night. I'm coaching every screen. Like he's into it.
Yeah, I don't think Rick's an issue, one way or the other.
No, I'm talking about Rick Pitino.
Oh,
if
Pitino.
Rick Pitino was younger,
if he were 10 years younger,
imagine. And it would be this. Look, it would be the story every day.
How about you win
a title?
How about we get to a Final Four with St. John's before worry about winning a title with the
Knicks? Dude, the fact that they won a game in the tournament seems like it may as well cut down.
I'll tell you something right now. You better win a couple games this year in the tournament.
Don't worry, buddy. We're coming.
You got the best recruiting.
Looking.
Suck.
You guys going to get to the NIT this year?
No, probably not. Adrian Autry. But we got Melo's kids, so you never know.
Yeah,
Craigie's saying Dan Hurley, clearly the best coach that's living right now. That's a little shot of your
Boy. Look, they don't like each other. They respect each other.
They do respect each other.
They do not like each other.
No.
And imagine if Danny could do what Rick couldn't do.
Well, that's a little one up there on the robbery.
Get the Knickerbockers a title.
And Rick even said, too, Rick did say, he's like, you know, he's like, they've got more plays. This will back up what you're saying about Hurley. And I do think he's among the most brilliant minds.
He's a basketball
genius. He's a savant, there's no doubt. And I thought for a while he could be his own worst enemy. As long as he controls himself, there's nobody
temper,
that can stop
ego,
him.
Sure, why not?
But Rick says, like, nobody's got more plays than this guy. He's like, when I play UConn, I've got to prepare for 20, 25, 30 more sets than any other coach in college basketball. Like, the playbook, the depth
Plus,
of it
this.
Is ridiculous.
With Rick's great recruiting class, which I guess is number one or two.
Number one.
Number one, there you go. If I'm you got Mike Rapoli on now, Chris.
I saw him at Belmont, by the way.
He had five horses.
Hey, can you stop taking pictures with Francesa?
It's
enough. Would you call him the Godfather?
Relax. I show respect and loyalty to the legend.
Relax. He's the guy who said you'd never make it on the fan.
Let's
not forget that. Yeah, your guy, the Godfather.
Craig's buddy, Mike Francesa.
He built this place.
As a producer, Sal would be pretty good as a host. No shot. His words, not mine.
Oh, boy.
How was Saratoga for the Belmont?
It was great. What? What do you mean? What? You never go?
No.
You never been to Saratoga?
I've been there, yeah. But sovereignty, you got to run the Preakness. What are we doing? What are
I know. I was asking people who actually know about horse. Like, I like going to the
I know
the
nothing
event.
About the horse
Doesn't
game.
Someone tell nothing. The horse, get your ass in that race?
Yeah,
you don't
I know.
Talk to horses like that? Your buddy did.
It would have been.
Remember when your buddy said he interviewed Secretariat?
I don't recall that, no.
Is that a real story?
Is Hurley realistic, or that's just who you want?
He's not getting hired by the Knicks.
I haven't heard anybody say no
to
yet.
Him.
So
Danny basically said
Danny
no.
said, I don't want to go through what I went through last year.
The
public courting,
yeah.
the cross-country travel.
He's not coaching the Knicks.
He probably isn't. But no one has said no.
Knicks fans for Hurley.
By the way, who says no to Hurley? Like, why wouldn't you hire Hurley unless you think that you can't, like Leon thinks, once I hire him, I'm giving up kind of control of the franchise.
Power, yeah. You can't
or
hire
Or Wes may not like him. I don't know.
You can't hire
him. He's the best available coach in the country.
He's a great coach. But I think he's a great college coach. So let me throw another name at you here.
Go.
And it's been shot down forever. I don't know. I know why he doesn't have
George
a job.
Carl?
No, God, George Carl's out of his mind.
Man, just name him coaches he actually knows.
Yeah,
and his top assistant is going to be Carmelo. I know it's not going to happen, but how do you not, and this is almost a low-hanging fruit, how do you not have a conversation with Mark Jackson?
Because
I know the reason.
You know the reason.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know the reason.
Let's not,
hey, there you go.
ABT.
Mark Jackson will never be the New York Knicks head coach.
I don't think he'll ever coach anywhere
Part
in the
of
it's NBA.
Because he kind of went crazy.
Yeah, no, I know.
Quite famously went crazy.
I know.
And that'll never happen.
Yeah. But if
Charles Oakley's got a better shot of being the Knicks head coach than Mark Jackson.
Ron Artest was putting his name out there. You see that video with Ron the other day?
Was.
Oh, God. Okay.
Every guy on the podcast wants to be the coach.
If you can get past which most won't and can, the stuff with Mark Jackson, you can make the case he would be the best candidate.
Look, he had some success out West.
Some success.
Yeah, I mean.
And he was like Buck. I mean, he built the team up and then Steve Kerr won.
Yeah, and you know why Steve Kerr didn't take the Knicks job? Because it was offered to him.
Like Steve Kerr's a loser.
You know why he didn't take it?
Why?
Two words. Marv Albert.
Get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like Marv? That's
no.
Why?
Marv told him not to take the job.
Oh, okay.
He goes, you'll hate it here. Don't take the job. That was before Marv was welcome back at the Garden.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, it was
cool. Great to see him there.
Yeah. And then Steve
Marv
Kerr said,
Albert told Steve Kerr, because the job was offered to him, do not take that job. You'll regret it.
And then Kerr said to Marv,
Kerr's like, you know, I'm a lousy coach anyway. I just sit around and watch Steph Curry make threes. It's a pretty good idea.
Kerr said, should I take the Warriors job? Marv said.
Yes.
There you go, set me up. By
the way, that was a horrendous job before then. That was a horrible job back. The arena was dilapidated. The franchise stunk.
Yeah. And now it's worth it's worth more than the Knicks.
I don't think their valuation's higher than
that. What happened?
It is right now. I don't think it's real, but it is.
What happened with Malone? You guys do more national basketball on your show, no? With the Nuggets, Michael Malone?
He's never been on their list.
You have any
idea? I don't know if anything happened or if there's some disconnect with him and Leon. Not that I know, but I was told he was never an option, and I'm glad about that.
He probably should have won more with Jokic. Now you get the best player in the world.
Yeah, look, he won one, but it didn't help him that Edelman, whatever, got to a game 7 against the Thunder.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it didn't barely look great coaching,
for him. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you love hoops. I like when the hoops, the happy hoops comes out in Craigie.
I like talking about
you really like sports.
You can't talk it anywhere, I'm surprised you're still talking after the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox.
No, the Knicks are the story.
Yankees are broken.
Stop. No overreaction on this show.
Soto's flipping bottles because he's bored.
He's happy. Now he's happy because the bottle flipped in one shot.
He got on base 6 times yesterday.
I'm waiting. I have not heard you guys say because I was doing the responsible gaming show, so I apologize.
Uh-huh.
But I'd be shocked if Sally Boy over here has not said what I know is coming because my son's saying it. A win away from having a bigger lead over second place than the Yankees have?
He didn't say that.
Oh, no.
He did not say that.
Yeah. That's coming.
To his credit, he focused on the Mets' success and just barely dipped his toe in the Yankee Red Sox
pool. Yeah, you are. All day you worry about the Yankees.
Joining us right now, does a fantastic job with SNY. That is, of course, Ian Begley. Ian, I know this is a very busy time right now for you. Thank you very much for coming on, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Let's start with this. Is the Jason Kidd thing completely dead, or is there still a possibility the Mavericks saying no is a part of an elaborate kind of negotiation that's going on?
Look, the Mavericks saying no makes all the sense in the world. I don't think it fully ends things, because if it was ever going to get to a point where Jason Kidd was going to be the head coach of the Knicks, it would require Jason Kidd or his representation at Excel Sports to saber rattle, to make things uncomfortable, to create some waves within the Mavericks to force their way into a conversation with the Knicks. Now, you do that by talking to ownership. You do that by talking to Nico Harrison, the appeal to their humanity, saying this is my dream job, or do you make things ugly? It was always going to take that step in order for Jason Kidd to be a head coach, a legitimate head coaching candidate for the Knicks. I can't tell you if that has happened or hasn't happened, but absence of that step being taken, there's nothing really there, because why would Dallas give the Knicks permission outright without that to talk to kids.
Right. So what is the plan? I mean, we had this conversation to start our show, and it's not as if I'm saying, oh, the Knicks are screwed because they have no plan, but usually when you get this deep into a postseason, Eastern Conference Finals, and you fire your coach, which is rare, you kind of have an idea of who's coming next. So what is the next step for them?
Well, Tiki, to your point, it's clear at this point, but it's worth saying that there was no shoo-in candidate when they made this decision on Tom Thibodeau. There was nothing that was kind of in the works or somebody who had been, you know, penciled in as the guy.
Right.
So that's obvious. And that's different, obviously, than Leon Rose's last process of hiring a head coach where, you know, all along we thought Tom Thibodeau would ultimately be the guy. But Leon interviewed several coaches. Leon and William Wesley interviewed several coaches, kind of fact-finding, and ended with Tom Thibodeau as the guy. This is much different. But, you know, what you're hearing from people around the Knicks is, look, we understand we're going to get denied on these asks, and you have to make the ask because it's a fact-finding mission. It's a due diligence, and we know that there's going to be a lot of noise around us getting declined. But if we don't ask, and you know, let's say we hire Coach X in a week, then we later learn that, you know, Jason Kidd might have been available.
Right.
I mean, Udoka might have been available. We get hammered. So it's really Leon doing his due diligence, and it is different because it's not what we're used to with that side of things, but this is how it's playing out. And they also feel, someone's opinion over there is that, you know, there's some good head coaches who are unemployed right now. Right. So the feeling is like we're going to end up with somebody who's going to help us.
What do we think the timing is? Because, we just know they fired a coach after the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not like after the regular season. There's many weeks that have passed. But it feels like, man, you got to get somebody in here pretty quickly. Otherwise, you're going to start making decisions about your roster without having a head coach.
It's a great, great call, Tiki. I think that, look, I don't think they're at the place where now, you know, something is going to happen by the end of the week. But I do think with all the trade discussions coming up around the draft, and that stuff is going to heat up, mm-hmm. Even the weekend before the draft. Obviously, ideally, you want somebody in place because you're going to want to make those decisions with that head coach in mind, with that head coach's input in mind. So I think perfect scenario, something's done, you know, next week and you have that person in place. But I also don't think that the Knicks would rush the process in order to get to the finish line, you know, at that point if they weren't ready. So I guess that's playing both sides, but I do think that there's no rush at this point to get somebody in place. So they're going to take their time. They're going to kind of turn over all the stones, whether it's assistants, former head coaches, maybe other current head coaches, and try to find out the best option here. It's almost like best player available, right?
Right.
They're going to try to get the best coach available given their circumstances at the moment.
So we know, based on your reporting, that they reached out on three different current active head coaches they got to know. Ime Udoka, no. Mm-hmm. Finch, no. Jason Kidd, no. Is there any indication that there are other head coaches that are currently under contract that they are going to reach out to, or is it just these three and now it's moving on to guys that are truly available?
Man, I would say that that's not the complete list of tires they've kicked of people currently employed. Whether they continue, whether they look elsewhere, I'm not sure, but I know those three names don't encompass the total, all the names that they've kind of checked in on. So, because of that, I would assume there's stuff that maybe we won't ever find out about, or maybe we'll find out about down the line where they're checking in with other teams.
There's one guy I got to ask you about, and I'm not reporting. I'm just using my noodle here. I'm using my brain here, and I'm looking around at active coaches, and I'm looking at their contracts, and I'm like, man, if I'm the Knicks, I'd call the Warriors about Steve Kerr. He only has 1 year left on his deal. He's won it all in Golden State. Now, I don't know if he has any bitterness towards the franchise because of Phil Jackson or initially turning the job down because reportedly Marv told him you don't want to work for Dolan. Maybe that stuff is too big of a deal. But am I crazy to think that checking in on Steve Kerr is, you know, makes sense?
It definitely makes sense to me. If this is the route you're going, how do you not make the call? You know, I've asked both sides on that. I mean, people who are kind of whispering with an agenda will tell you, yeah, of course the Knicks are gonna look into that. And then you check on the other side, and I haven't heard anything, you know, solid there. Not to say that it hasn't happened or it won't happen, but when I brought it up, it wasn't like, yeah, that's definitely a guy. But how could you not? I mean, look, no. I do think that there's, like, you know, people talk about the Warriors, and is there a rift there with Kerr and ownership? I don't know, but I think, you know, the Kuminga situation, you know, it didn't play out the way everybody wanted it to play out. So, again, maybe that's a wedge that you can use to try to work your way in there.
Now, last week when we chatted with you about this, and we were asking the question, or at least we were inquiring, was James Dolan the impetus behind this? And I think you gave the perfect answer. James Dolan gives his opinion, but ultimately it's Leon Rose who makes this decision. Now, regardless of how this decision to fire Tom Thibodeau was made, what is the process of getting the head coach? Because I think a lot of people are saying they don't have a plan. They're just kind of flying and seeing what sticks. But for a team that's this close, is that really the smart way to go about it?
I mean, no. Ideally, you have somebody in place. You have like a Thibodeau-esque guy that you know, if all else fails, that's where you're going to land.
Right.
So, no. But, you know, this is kind of the situation that they've created here with the way things have gone. And so I think the process is how the process usually is, which is, you know, rounds of interviews. And eventually you get comfortable with somebody. You have them talk to the owner. The owner signs off. Doesn't sign off, and then you kind of take it from there. That's generally how the process goes. But certainly, there was no plan, right, going into the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau. I'm sure there were, you know, names that had been kind of bandied about, but there was nothing certain in place here. And this is kind of what we're seeing with the Knicks kind of turning over every stone and trying to figure it out as we go.
Right. And the one person that Evan has consistently mentioned is Johnny Bryant. And he did not get the open job?
Phoenix
open job. That went to Ott instead. Yeah. So is he just kind of like, all right, if all fails, at least we have Johnny Bryant available?
See, I mean, I don't get the sense that, and I think we've kind of talked around it last time we talked. I just don't get the sense that if there is a list of candidates that he's at in the top echelon right now. I don't say that because there's any kind of lack of respect between the Knicks and Johnny Bryant. What I think is they need somebody who's been there before at this point in where they are as a team. And it'd be a huge risk to bring somebody in who's never been there before, hasn't been in that seat, bring them into this situation. So yeah, I'm still there. I'm still at the place where I don't think he's like the, in that list of the upper echelon of who they're considering. Mm-hmm. Now, look, they may turn left, and that could be, you know, the best option of the bunch. But I think right now it's fair to say that he's not all the way up there on the list.
We're talking to Ian Begley, SNY, the latest on the Knicks coaching search. We know that they requested to interview coaches that currently have jobs, and all the teams said no. Let's get to Mike Malone, because on paper, he seems perfect. Just on paper. New York guy. Right. Just won a championship. Why doesn't there seem to be a strong link between the Knicks and Mike Malone?
The only thing that I know, just going back to even during the regular season when that happened, when he got let go in Denver, he was never described as like a slam dunk. And the why is not as clear to me. But I think you can determine that he's still not considered to be that slam dunk, because if that was the case, he would be hired already, right? Right. I mean, right. And if Johnny Bryant was a slam dunk, he would be hired already. So, you know, these guys are obviously available. Maybe there comes a point where they talk, but I was kind of pointed away from that direction, and that's kind of how it's played out to this point. You know, again, things change. Your needs change, who you like changes, but right now I don't see him as a strong candidate.
Mike Brown, another guy who's available, who has experience. He lost the Sacramento job last year, but he coached successfully in Cleveland, got him to an NBA Finals. Is Mike Brown a guy that they will strongly consider for this job?
I think it's a guy you have to interview. at the very least. Would not be surprised at all if they interviewed him. I feel like you have to interview, you know, a Taylor Jenkins, maybe a Budenholzer. You've got to interview these guys who have experience who are available if you're going to say you're turning over every stone. Is Mike Brown the guy? You know, it'd be a risky play because you're talking about getting rid of a head coach who had so much success here and bringing on somebody who I think it's, you know, it's debatable whether you say this guy can get us to that next level, but mm-hmm. there's no evidence that he can. So it's a risky hire, but certainly, you know, where you are today, if you're the Knicks, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not interviewing the Taylor Jenkinses, the Mike Browns of the world. And right. So I'm sure they'll have conversations.
Right. Any from a player standpoint, let's move off the coaches for a quick second. Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. we hear, you know, Rich Kleiman is looking for potential trade partners. New York gets mentioned. It doesn't seem like it's likely, but what is the likelihood of a Kevin Durant or even a cat trade? If we've had this conversation a couple times on our show and I think others as well. What's the likelihood of massive movement with the roster?
Yeah, with Durant specifically, I mean, I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I've been talking about it a lot on my show that, you know, it was always a long shot and unlikely. And I know the Knicks would get thrown in there. Maybe it's from Phoenix's side to try to drive the market up, or maybe it's because the Knicks made a phone call at some point. But I don't think it's likely that he ends up being here. But when you talk about Towns, look, they made this trade for Towns, you know, less than a year ago. So obviously there's a certain confidence level in him being here. So I think it would have to be like a Giannis level player in order for Towns to be involved. I don't think there's any appetite where you say, all right, we got to get off Karl Towns. We have to move off from whatever we can get back. We'll get back. Don't think that's the case at all. I think if there's an opportunity to upgrade, you know, he'd be in the deal if it was Giannis that was coming here, something like that. But I don't think there's any appetite to just move off of him just to do it.
Yeah, it seems like the only way they would be able to add Durant is Cat straight up, or like a Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart kind of combination. And I have great respect for Kevin Durant. We all do. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense for this team at this point to make a move like that.
So the thing there, too, is, you know, Durant extension eligible. So you're talking about making a big commitment to a player who's an all-world player, and I'm sure he will be very productive throughout the life of that extension. But that's a big commitment that you're making in addition to the assets that you're sending out. I mean, look, we all know what happened in 2019 where the Knicks felt they were in there. Ultimately, they were not. And so I think some of those factors maybe still are kind of lingering. But I would be surprised if they ended up, you know, making a strong push for Kevin Durant.
We're talking to Ian Begley of SNY. Knicks are looking for a brand new head coach. Tom Thibodeau did put out a statement earlier today. Have we gotten any indication on Tibbs' reaction to this firing? Was he surprised? Did he kind of expect it? Any word on what Tibbs' reaction to their move a week ago was?
I've talked to people who had been in touch with him, and, I think surprised was a word that was used. Not really understanding it was a phrase that was used. And both of those reactions would make sense to me. I certainly don't want to speak for Tom Thibodeau. Maybe at some point he comes out and he talks about it. Maybe he does an interview with Evan and Tiki and kind of goes through everything. But yeah, those are the kind of words and phrases that kind of were relayed to me in talking to people who had touched base with him.
Now, this is the boogeyman, and it maybe shouldn't be the boogeyman because he seems like a nice guy and he's been a long-time assistant, but I've heard Caller say it. I heard Iman Shumpert say it the other day. The idea that when all is said and done, Rick Brunson is going to be the head coach of this team. Can you calm the Knick fan and tell them that that is not a serious option, or maybe it is? You tell us.
Look, I would say that and I don't know Rick. I don't know much about the dynamic there. But I do think that with Rick being Jalen's dad, he would want to put Jalen, and by extension the Knicks, in the best position to win. And would he think that as a, you know, first-time head coach, that's the best way for his son? I don't think so. But you know, let's see how this thing goes. I'd be surprised if it ended up there. But I do think that, like, the idea that he would be like behind the scenes kind of operating in the shadows and pushing buttons and making things happen here and there. I think that's overblown. I mean, I think that he's here. Look, obviously he coaches his son and he deals a lot with his son, and that's he's here to do that, and he's here to work with other players. But the idea that he's got some like Svengali like influence over everybody, I think is well overblown.
Yeah, so we saw some reports about the influence of the current players on this decision, because some saying allegedly that I don't know if I could play for Tibbs again. Are they going to have any input on who the coach is? Like, is Leon Rose or James Dolan or Worldwide West, are they asking the players their opinions on any of these guys? Because I think there is some familiarity with some of the veteran coaches out there right now.
I think you have to, you know, based on where the league is and based on what you're trying to accomplish, you don't want to bring in somebody who, just as an example, a Carl Anthony Towns says, I had a terrible experience with that guy. Right. I'd be miserable playing for him. You don't want that. You want a guy who's going to, everybody's going to rally around and get excited about. So I think you have to a degree, check in with your players along the process here. I would be surprised if the Knicks didn't. I would also be surprised if, like, let's say Leon Rose, Willie Mustard, everybody with the group felt really strongly about a coach. And one of the top guys with the Knicks, just for example, Mikal Bridges, was lukewarm on it. I don't think that would stop that train from you know, coming to the station. But I do think you have to check in there. And if it's a strong opinion, you have to take that into account.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This may surprise you, but it's very important for me to ask, because one of my coworkers brought this up this morning. He said, you know what? Search isn't really going very well. Is it possible the Knicks call up Tibbs and say, I'm sorry, we screwed up? So for my dear friend, is that possible? Is it possible that the Knicks are going to say, we screwed that one up, why don't you come back, Tibbs?
I mean, that would be so crazy. So we've all been around pro sports long enough to never say never. That would be the most insane thing that I've been a part of. I mean, how incredible would that be? I don't even, like, would Tibbs want to come back after all this? I don't think if we're getting to that point, then things have really gone off the rails with this coaching search. Let's just say that.
If you had to guess right now, and it's difficult because here we are on June 11th and there isn't a favorite. We don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you. I trust you more than anybody else. If you had to pick a name right now and say, all right, this is who I would say is going to be their next head coach, who would you put your money on right now to be that guy?
Look, it probably sounds crazy to say it, given everything that's been reported, and especially over the last couple of days. If we're going through the field and I have to pick a favorite, the odds are still long. But right now, given everything at play, I would still say Jason Kidd would be my favorite right now, just because of the different elements in play. What we talked about earlier, how if anything is going to happen, it would be because of Jason or his representation saber rattling. I still haven't ruled that out personally. And that's why I would say Kidd over the field. But if you're saying Kidd versus the field, I think that the field is more likely than Kidd, if that even makes sense. Look, I'm a gambler. I don't even know. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It kind of makes sense.
No, it does make sense.
But I get your point, because Evan's been saying the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, I just we don't rule it out. And a part of the reason I say it, again, I'm not reporting. You know, Ian's a great reporter. I'm saying it because I kind of know Jason Kidd as a fan. Mm. And I say this with, I guess, peace and love, but not really. He's a damn snake. I've seen it firsthand. I saw it as a player. I saw it as a coach. I lived it. He's a damn snake. And if he wants, you said it at the top, saber rattling was the word.
Right.
If Jason Kidd wants the Knick job, let me tell you something, that snake will find a way to bite his way to Madison Square Garden. So
more like slither his way.
Or slither, yeah, that's probably the better term. Ian, we really appreciate it, man.
I'm picturing you in a black and white Brooklyn Net jersey as you're saying this, Evan, and it's a nice visual for me.
Very good.
I appreciate you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it, man.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you. Take care.
Be good. Great Ian Begley of SNY. When the Knicks made the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau, most Knicks fans did not like the move. They didn't understand the move. They leaned on the whole, hey, Eastern Conference Finals, first time in 25 years thing. But information has emerged over the last week. Ian Begley, who joined us yesterday, if you missed it, you can download the Evan and Tiki podcast, revealed this information, and you can tell where it's coming from. It's coming from the players. This is not doesn't sound like it's being leaked out by Madison Square Garden as a hit job on Tom Thibodeau. This sounds like here's the player's perspective and maybe some of the things they said in these exit interviews. And you tell me, I know it's a different sport, but as a player, how damaging this is. According to Ian Begley and Nick Players, the Knicks didn't have full scrimmages during an entire training camp one season, which is uncommon. The players found it odd that they didn't scrimmage during the camp. Thibodeau's Knicks didn't scrimmage often in the season, which is more common in the NBA. But the lack of scrimmaging hindered the players' ability to develop cohesion, they said. Players were also surprised they didn't work on specific endgame situations during the season, which is something that most teams do. They found it strange that the coaching staff didn't go over those situations during practice. Those are some of the critiques that players had on Tom Thibodeau. And that goes along with a report we heard earlier, a couple days ago, that there was one unnamed Nick who said he didn't think he'd be able to play for Tom Thibodeau again.
Right.
Is that enough in your mind to say, whoa, I don't know if I can bring this guy back?
Well, it's informative of some of the things that we saw throughout the regular season and certainly in the postseason. The end of game planning or attention to detail. We talked about it relative to the New England Patriots. Like, why were the Patriots always so good? It's not that they were dominant over every team in the NFL, but they knew how to win games because they made the right decisions at the end of games.
Right.
And it was because they were specifically instructed on those things. So nobody was like, what am I supposed to do at this point? Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. So that's one indictment. But the other one about the no scrimmaging, it almost feels like Tom Thibodeau was trying to protect his players by not scrimmaging them because he played them so much.
Right,
I'm serious.
Right.
Like, can you play 42 minutes or 40 plus minutes or whatever it is, 38 to 44 minutes, depending on who you are, every night in the NBA and then scrimmage on the off days? You just can't.
So would it have behooved the Knicks more to play less minutes but scrimmage more?
Yes, maybe. Yeah. At least that's what it sounded like with some of the players were saying or intimating. And, I mean, it kind of makes sense because once you get into a game situation, it's pressure-filled, right? It matters if you fail. But if you mess up in practice, so what? Do it again, right? It allows you to develop muscle or cohesion or memory without having the consequence of potentially losing a game.
Yeah. The late game situations thing is very, very concerning. If you remember back to earlier in the postseason, there was that sequence where Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart were out of the game and Tom didn't want to use a timeout, his last timeout, to stop the game and get them back in the game. We all remember that situation?
Yeah, of course.
And I came on the air the next day and I said, Teague, I'm going to tell you something very crazy, something unorthodox, but tell me how this is flawed. And that is, these guys should have been coached to have Deuce McBride, who's on the floor, to throw the basketball off a defender and out of bounds.
Right, and even if you miss and you throw it out of bounds, it's a turnover, at least Jalen Brunson gets back in the
game. Right, and you get your guys back in the game.
Yes.
It's a way to steal a timeout and get them back in the game. And your answer was, it's actually a really good idea. I wonder if they've ever practiced something like that. The answer is clearly no, because according to this report, which again is coming from players.
Yeah. Did he specify where it came from, or just this is out of the, like, how did he phrase it?
Players said.
Yeah. So this is there's no ambiguity here.
Yes.
This is not, there's just some watcher, some guy on the side throwing a hit job at Tom.
Right. Which
Tom Thibodeau.
Which absolutely could be on the table. Like, I understand being skeptical of that. Like, the Garden is going to release information to make Tom Thibodeau look bad. But the reporting has led us to believe that while the organization may not have loved them, the exit interviews played a huge part in this decision. And if your players who are going to be on this team next year are giving you these indicators of concern around Tom Thibodeau, it'd be irresponsible not to listen. And that's why, like, I remember 2 weeks ago, we opened the show. It was like a half hour before Tibbs got fired. We opened the show talking about how, hey, his job may be on the line, which was still kind of sounding weird. And I remember explaining to you, I'm really on the fence about this. There's a lot of negatives. There's a lot of positives. And ultimately,
To firing Tom
Thibodeau. And ultimately, if Jalen likes him, all right, fine. I'll bring him back. They end up firing him. And now this information has only just confirmed the negatives that I had, which is you couldn't bring him back.
No.
And you could sit here all day and tell me, well, they hadn't been to an Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. Believe it or not, that information's actually irrelevant.
Right.
What does that have to do? What does 2017 have to do with last year? Like, what does the failures of the first 20 years have to do with the last five in determining if the coach should come back? I think that's absolutely flawed thinking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the decision is now clear why they did it. And maybe it explains why it feels like they don't have a concrete plan on who's next. Maybe there is a plan on the on their process, but on who they specifically want to hire, it seems like they don't have a plan. But maybe this explains why. I doubt that Leon Rose, as soon as the season was over, because the Indiana Pacers are turning out to be pretty damn good. Right, I mean, who knows if they're going to beat the OKC? But
they've already done
like
more
it.
Than we thought. I had them losing in four. You had them losing in five. They've already defied that.
Right, they're already up 2-1. So, I mean, at this point, maybe we give the Indiana Pacers some credit. But that not being, forget that. It doesn't even matter. Leon Rose, I don't think when the season was over, was like, I'm done with Tibbs. This is over. I can't stand him. He can't get us to the next level. We're done. Fire him right now. I think. By hearing from the players, which we know took place because it was an unprecedented exit interview process that we've heard about, and then all this other stuff coming out, I think he just kind of had to say, the players don't want him. And ultimately, that explains why it felt so, I don't know, out of left field.
Yep.
Even though he probably didn't deserve to be fired.
888-808-1019. Roscoe in Brooklyn. Good afternoon, Roscoe.
Evan, thank you. I need 130 seconds. I get 130 seconds real quick?
Yep.
132. I'll even give you two more because I'm feeling good
Tom
today.
Thibodeau last year in the playoffs, we lost to who? In the second round, who we lost to?
The Indiana Pacers.
This year in the playoffs, who we lost to?
The Indiana Pacers.
He could not get over the hump. You got to go, Thibodeau. See you later. Sorry, all right? I'm not for nobody to get fired. You got to go. Everybody that's screaming that we don't know what we're doing, I love it because I think the Knicks do have a plan, Evan, and here's the plan, and you've nailed it in the butt. You're kind of trolling us, and I'm not going to get to that right now because I probably got like a couple of seconds left, but hear me out.
Yeah.
The snake is going to be in Madison Square Garden, and you know who I'm talking about.
Of course.
So for everyone, it's going to happen. I just feel like maybe they want to bring AD over, too. We just got to figure we got to see what's going on. Ooh. We don't know. Listen, that man that changed this organization, I commend him. If he's not giving you no news, New York, so what? Deal with it. Bing bong, all right? Deal with it, guys. They got the plan. Stop listening to Evan. Stop listening to Tiki. Stop listening to everybody, listen, guys, there's a plan.
Well, no, that is listening to me. I said they have a plan. Don't lump me into that. They do have a plan. They knew this was it with Tom Thibodeau.
Right, we had to cut you 50 seconds short because you went with the bing bong.
Yeah, the bing bong is disqualified. Can't do that. You also implied something very strange early in your phone call. They do have a plan. They ultimately knew. Look, Tom Thibodeau in Chicago got to an Eastern Conference Finals his first year coaching the team. They won 62 games that year, and they lost to the dynastic Miami Heat. I was actually in the building when they got eliminated in Chicago.
That was his first coach of the year.
That was.
Right? And then he won another one when he came here.
That's right. And that maxed out the Chicago Bulls. They never got back to an Eastern Conference Finals.
In year one.
And it took them a while, and obviously Derrick Rose getting hurt and a lot of other factors that led to it. And it was over for Tom. He had a great run in Chicago. They won a lot of games, but they never got back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they knew, the Knicks I'm talking, Leon Rose knew, this is as far as we're getting. Mm. This was our moment. This was our opportunity. And so instead of waiting for four more years of falling short, based on some of the things his players said, he knew now's the time to make that move. And I do agree. Here's where things stand. They want Jason Kidd. That is who they're targeting.
Right.
These reports about asking other teams about their coaches is an absolute smokescreen around the fact that they are talking and they are tampering with Jason Kidd.
No, Biggie.
I think it's 50-50 that Jason Kidd slithers his way out. Knowing Jason Kidd, I think it's a real possibility. That's why I say it's 50%. If he slithers his way out, this will all become obvious to us in just a few days or a few weeks. If he doesn't, I think they realize we have a pretty good bench of candidates that we can then go to.
Right.
That's what I believe is happening right now. And that's a plan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.